Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Raines. And I don't know if any of you guys were watching the college basketball tournament this weekend. It was pretty fun, so we're going to do a little bit of that today. But Nike reported their third quarter earnings late last week on Thursday, so we're going to do a little bit of that. That's going to be a majority of the podcast. We're also going to do some NCAA news, and then there is another new football league that's coming to the States next year, American football, and then just a little bit more. But I want to start with Nike. So last week, they reported their first quarterly loss in over 20 years. Most of that was due to a $2 billion tax expense related to the new tax laws that were passed. So that's right off the bat. That's not the best sign, but that's more of just a one-off thing. So I want to get into a little bit more of the raw numbers right away. So their revenues were up 7% to almost $9 billion, but their cost of sales were up 8% to about $5 billion. And their adjusted earnings were 68 cents per share, which actually crushed our Zacks estimate here, which was for 52 cents per share. So that was good for Nike and Nike investors. But when we look at what was going on in the last couple of quarters, their North American revenues have fallen and that trend continued. So their North American revenues were down 6%. Footwear was down 8%. And that's by far their biggest category is footwear. So that was down 8%. Equipment was down 9%. But that's minuscule compared to the rest of their sales. It was only like $125 million when footwear's $2.3 billion in North America. And apparel was pretty flat. And then Converse, which for people who don't know, Nike owns Converse, their sales were down 3% overall as well. This North American revenue decline happened pretty quickly. So in quarter one of 2017, North American revenues were up 6%. Quarter two of 2017, they were up 3%, so on and so on. So the next two quarters, they were also up. But then by the fourth quarter of 2017, they were only up by like 0.5%. And then to start fiscal 2018, so this is, they just reported fiscal third quarter 2018. So the beginning of 2018, first quarter, down 2.7%. And then the next quarter, they were down 4.5% in North America. And like I was saying, it happened kind of quickly. And it's relatively clear why it happened. Consumer trends are just changing. Dick's Sporting Goods is losing business, Foot Locker, Finish Line, which are some of Nike's biggest retail partners. People are just shopping differently. Everyone knows about Amazon at this point. You know that people are, direct to consumer is the relatively new wave of how people are going to be retail consumers going forward. And this is actually, I mean, it's hurt Nike in North America in the short term, but long term, it's probably pushed them to go more direct to consumer, which will then be a higher margin business going forward. And it probably pushed them to do this sooner than they would have. And now I want to kind of talk about what went well. So I'm going to go over a little bit of what they talked about in their earnings call last week and just what they think went well and what their new outlook is going forward. So right off the bat on the earnings call, Nike CEO, there's a lot of good, but he talked about, the first thing he mentioned was the recent scandal. So the Nike president, Trevor Edwards, resigned and he will retire officially in August. And then another top executive also resigned. And this was due to what most people in most reports, there's nothing out there yet. This was an in-house thing Nike's done to kind of get ahead of what has been going around most of U.S. workplaces and all that is the just sort of sexual harassment scandals that have been going on, and Nike did an in-house thing, and now they're kind of changing over some position and trying to create a new culture. So exactly Mark Parker's comments were, I would like to first acknowledge the changes we made last week to further evolve our culture and restructure our leadership. We became aware of some behavioral issues that are inconsistent with Nike's values of inclusivity, respect, and empowerment. He went on to talk a little bit more, but there was no specifics given, but it just seems that that's what he wanted to get out of the way right away is, we're on top of this, we're doing this ourselves. So it hasn't, whereas a lot of these other companies, and there's been big scandals that it seemed to take over the news cycle, the fact that Nike did this in-house has seemingly sort of got them out of the spotlight for what could have been a really negative thing if, say, a newspaper broke this story instead of Nike doing it themselves. But moving on, Nike's big growth in the third quarter came pretty much all from huge international growth in their Nike Direct plan, which is the direct-to-consumer business that they're trying to grow. Greater China was huge. Footwear in Greater China, the Greater China area, was up 21%, apparel up 36%, and total sales up 24% in Greater China to $1.3 billion. So it's still not the size of North America, but it's a market that's growing, and it's a market that's growing in a middle class, and they're buying more sports gear in general. So that's going to be where Nike can see a lot of growth going forward, and it's great to see that they're already seeing such big jumps in such a huge market. They also grew in Asia Pacific / Latin America. This is a category that they classify specifically. And then that was up 13%. And then Europe, Middle East, and Africa up 19%. So they're up huge everywhere else but North America. So that's why their sales were up 6% overall or 7% overall when Nike's domestic revenues were down. And then it's good to see overall footwear revenues were up, and that is, like I said before, a majority of their business. It's around 60% every quarter or so. And a little bit more specifically about why China went up, and this is what they pointed to on their earnings call, was their digital business revenue is up 18%. So online business up 18% everywhere. And in China, they were talking about how they have these new apps. They have Nike Plus and the sneakers app. It's SNKRS. And that's for a culture, I don't know if listeners are aware of how popular shoes are with so many people, and the people are willing to spend hundreds of dollars on shoes and they could wear a new pair of Nikes every day of the week for 5 years straight. The term is, I don't know how often it's used, but I hear it a lot. It's a sneaker head. So in China, they debuted their sneaker app in December, and they had 2 million downloads of this app in the first month. They expect this to continue to drive growth in China, and they're really focusing on two of their larger cities, which are Shanghai and Beijing. And to just talk a little bit more about the sneaker app itself. So it's basically insider access. It's free. So they're just trying to get you to download the sneaker app, and then you get up-to-date information on the latest releases, and then you basically just buy a shoe. So it's Nike sees it as a win. It's a free app, and then they just pump out, this is the newest model we're dropping of this specific shoe in this color. And I'm in this world, even though I'm not a sneakerhead. I just follow this all on Instagram and Twitter, and it is a crazy world. But I don't want to go down that rabbit hole too far. And then also they pointed to, once again, they're now working actively with Amazon, whereas before they were kind of working against Amazon. And then they also mentioned how they are growing their presence on social media. They pointed that they are the first company ever to sell directly through Snapchat. And they sold out this small line of Air Jordan 3s in 23 minutes. And that was just on Snapchat. So that's something they're going to try to do more of going forward. And then this is something I've mentioned before in the podcast, but I want to just point out these numbers again because they're kind of striking. So when you look at Twitter presence, Nike has, and this is just the basic Nike account. There's a million different Nike accounts and ones for different areas of the world. But the basic Nike account has 7.4 million followers. Adidas has 3.4. Under Armour has less than a million. Then on Instagram, Nike has 77 million followers on Instagram, where Adidas has under 19 million and Under Armour has about 5 million. So they have this brand presence on big, huge, widely popular social media platforms. And Instagram specifically is one that people are going to start most likely buying more things directly from Instagram and, like they said, Snapchat. So that's what they're going to try to keep doing more of going forward. Then they're also focusing on their Nike Plus app, which is another free app that's designed to just have people download it. They get kind of insider information. They get free shipping. And it's just to encourage more brand loyalty. That's what Nike is about, and that's what they're trying to cultivate here with all of their direct-to-consumer. And they see this as, and I agree, they see this direct-to-consumer It hurt them in the short term, like I was saying before, but long term, it's just going to help them grow their business. The more they have like actual interactions and all of this with their clients and their customers, it's just going to be better for them. So that's what they're focusing on going forward. And then they've now upped their guidance for the fourth quarter and for the first half of their fiscal 2019. So they expect North American revenues to kind of reverse. They've gone down over the last three quarters. They now project them to be roughly flat in the fourth quarter, and then North American growth to return in the first half of fiscal 2019. Overall, fourth quarter revenues, they expect to grow at a high single digit pace in the fourth quarter. And that's once again going to be driven by huge international growth and then a slow reversal of the downturn in North America. And just kind of close this Nike portion off, they are, like I've now just said way too many times, they're focusing on direct to consumer, their digital presence, their Nike Plus memberships, their apps like the sneakers app. And they also recently bought, and they announced it, I believe, on this earnings call, they bought a consumer data and analytics firm called Zodiac. So that's going to help them just even know more specifically where they can get people to purchase things. And so that's going to be what they're doing going forward. And it seems like it's going to work. And they're already now way more optimistic than they were maybe, say, 6 months ago about the near future. I want to transition because Nike is in a time that's really important for Nike because they spend a lot of money on college basketball. And as most of you know, March Madness is nearing the end, but this weekend was a lot of fun. And to project to the Final Four, which we already know now, 17 of the last 20 NCAA men's basketball champions were Nike teams. Only three out of the last 20 were not Nike teams. So you had Louisville in 2013, Kansas in 2008, and then Michigan State in 2000. And Michigan State is now a Nike team. So that's now theirs as well. In this year, the Final Four is Loyola. They are a Nike team. Michigan is a Nike team, but Jordan Brand specifically. You have Villanova is also a Nike team. And then Kansas is the outlier as an Adidas school. And they beat Duke in an overtime game last night, or it would have been a 4-for-4 Nike Final Four. So they would have been guaranteed another champ, which it might sound kind of simple, but this is how you grow your brand. It's these kids see players that they look up to, and then these players go on to play in the NBA, and it's just Nike everywhere. They dominate college basketball and they dominate the NBA. And that is why some of the growth in China is there as well, because the NBA is the most popular sport in China, which is kind of hard to believe when you think about it. But it's nice when for the NBA and basketball that it's like that. And then I want to talk a little bit of some fun finances from the NCAA tournament. And this was speculation on how much Loyola of Chicago, an 11 seed, rarely, like never goes this far. I looked this up last night, the fourth 11 seed to ever make the Final Four. And so someone was speculating at how much free advertising this run is worth to Loyola. And a George Mason professor 12 years ago when they made their Final Four run projected that that George Mason's run was worth $677 million in free advertising, just based on how many people are seeing George Mason and hearing a little bit about them based on all the times they were on television and what they would have had to pay to get that kind of national exposure on television without being in the Final Four. So that's crazy when you think about that. So good for Loyola. Now that Duke's out, I had them winning the championship. I'm going to root for Loyola since Zach's is here in Chicago. I'll root for them. It's a fun story. I'm sure you guys have all seen Sister Jean on the court side, and some of you might be a little sick of that storyline already. And I'm sure actually the players are kind of bummed because I was looking at all the stuff and they have all the pictures of the Final Four teams, and You have three players from all the, so you have a Michigan player and a Villanova player and a Kansas player, and then they have a picture of Sister Jean instead of one of the kids. So that's kind of a bummer that she's maybe, I'm not outshining the team, but that's not fun for them. It should be about the kids. It's nice that she's there, but I hope more of the focus is on the players themselves than a super fan like her. But then, back to the numbers. This was reported by Darren Revell, an ESPN business reporter, that the Loyola Ramblers run in the NCAA championships is going to give the Missouri Valley Conference $8.2 million because that's distributed as part of the NCAA. The revenues they make from the tournament, which is all from CBS and Turner, they distribute that based on merit-based. They do a lot of other things. But yeah, so Loyola making this run is going to give the Missouri Valley Conference $8 million, which is crazy. And then also you have head coaches who hit incentive markers for reaching certain points in the NCAA tournament. And Florida State's head coach, they didn't make the Final Four, but his tournament run to get to the Elite Eight, he reportedly made $775,000 bonus just for making it to the Elite Eight, which is that's the kind of money that you realize is in college basketball and in these tournaments. So there's a lot on the line for not just the people in their brackets and their office pools, but the coaches themselves. And then transitioning to a little bit of other basketball news, but on the pro level, the NBA, they've been a pretty like league that's trying a lot of stuff. They have a partnership with Amazon's Twitch. They're going to be experimenting and testing out with their app, NBA TV app, micro transactions. So they're offering, if you want to watch a close game and say you've seen it up through the first three quarters, like, oh, this is a good game, but I don't want to pay for this whole thing because the league pass is kind of expensive. They're offering to be able to watch like the fourth quarter of any specific game for 99 cents. They're testing it for now. And I think that's a great idea. I can see them easily being able to do that. League pass is expensive, but if it's the end of some game and you want to see the last 12 minutes of it, 99 cents doesn't seem like much to people, but it could add up for the NBA really quickly. So this is still in the testing phase, but 2 years ago, I looked this up. Adam Silver, who's the NBA commissioner, said at the Consumer Electronics Show that he was thinking that we'll get to the point where someone wants to watch the last 5 minutes of a game, they'll be able to click, they'll pay a set price for 5 minutes as opposed to what they pay for the 2 hours. So this is how we've now gotten to the point where the NBA is going to put out this 99 cents as a test run, but I can see them doing it long term for, say, watching the fourth quarter of a game. So that's something to watch going forward. You could see maybe the NFL or CBS or Fox offering these kind of, you can watch the fourth quarter of this NFL game on our app for 50 cents or something like that. And that would just add up relatively quickly for these companies. And then jumping from the NBA, there is now once again another football league in the works. So Vince McMahon, who had the XFL in the late 90s, it lasted only one season, and that is set to return in 2020. There is another new football league. It's Charlie Ebersol, which is actually the NBC, like the famed NBC executive Dick Ebersol's son, who was Vince McMahon's partner on the original XFL. He is debuting the Alliance of American Football in February of 2019 on CBS. So I'm assuming they're going to call it the AAF, I would assume. I don't know. Alliance of American Football is kind of boring-ish, but so the idea is there's going to be 18 professional football league with a 10-week regular season, and now I'm going to read from the quotes on their press release. It's going to provide an unprecedented fan participation in player and team success, post-football career scholarship and job program for the players, and then you have free live streaming and integrated fantasy. So the focus is on a shorter season, shorter games, and free streaming. So they're going to have free streaming on the Alliance app and then integrated fantasy with, quote, real rewards. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but that's going to be there. And then on top of the free streaming on their app, They also partnered with CBS. So CBS will air one game a week, it seems like, at least for now. They're going to air one game a week, quote, exclusively on CBS Sports Network. So for now, you'll be able to watch the AAF, the Alliance of American Football, on CBS, and then free streaming on their app. And Charlie Ebersol was quoted in the press release, and the premise is that although the NFL's ratings are down, football is still the most popular sport in America. And he's pointing directly to the fact that ensuring that next year, or he's saying in this quote, ensuring that 2018 will be the final year fans have to experience a 6-month period without football. So this is going to be a spring league, and the idea is that it's going to end right after the Super Bowl. And now people are just, instead of having to watch and speculate on who their NFL team's going to draft, they're just going to be able to watch more football. And then some fun stuff they're doing to kind of change the game, because they're focusing on player safety. They're eliminating kickoffs completely, which is what the NFL did by moving the kicks up a little bit. They basically all get kicked out of the back of the end zone, so there's less returns, and that's where a lot of injuries come from. So they're eliminating the kickoff. Offenses will automatically start in the 25-yard line, and then in place of an onside kick, the trailing team will receive the ball on their own 35-yard line, facing fourth down and 10. And then for the fan experience, it's going to be shorter play clock, fewer commercial breaks. They just want to shorten the overall times of the games, because these NFL games can run like 3.5 hours, and there's 11 minutes of play on the field. And then you have some pretty big names investing in this. So you have Peter Thiel, and then you have some big venture capital firms, and you also have the Churning Group, who's invested heavily in Barstool Sports and other up-and-coming sports media companies. And then you have some former NFL players and executives helping run the league. So you have Bill Polian, who was a GM for a long time in the NFL. I believe 99% sure he is the guy who drafted Peyton Manning, so helped that Colts run. And then you have Steelers safety Troy Polamalu, the guy in all the Head and Shoulders commercials with the huge hair. He's going to be an advisor. Hines Ward, Justin Tuck, and then some other players. So we'll see how this league goes. It seems like, and they don't have coaches, and they don't even have the cities yet, but those are supposedly going to roll out in the next 12 weeks. And then they're going to have a league a year from now. So we'll see. It seems like there clearly is some demand for it. CBS has already signed up for it. But the XFL, almost 20 years ago, people thought that would work, and it lasted a season because it was a miserable product and no one watched it because it was terrible football. So we'll see how this goes. But clearly there is at least they think some demand. But yeah, the NFL's ratings were down like 10% again this year. Still hugely watched, almost 15 million people a game, but down 10%, and they were down the year before. So we'll see how it goes. But in the next couple of weeks, we have a lot of fun stuff coming up for sports-wise. You have the Final Four this weekend and the championship on Monday night. You have the Masters then coming out right after that. And then you have the NBA and NHL playoffs starting up, and then Major League Baseball regular season. So in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have some fun episodes to talk about for sure. And that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.